Station Jaxon 2. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to hear your voice.
Yours as well. I was hoping that you would temporarily secure the Node 1, Node 3, and airlock smoke detectors for vacuum ops.
Node 1, Node 3, and airlock are in work. We'll let you know when they're disabled.
Thank you, sir.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack. Smoke detectors in Node 1, airlock, and Node 3 are inhibited. Happy cleaning.
Happy cleaning indeed. Station Jack's on 2. Vacuum ops complete. You can re-enable smoke detection in Node 1 and Node 3 in the airlock, please.
Copy. Re-enabling smoke detection. We'll let you know when that's complete.
Thank you, Captain.
Station Houston on 2. Smoke detection has been re-enabled in Node 3, airlock, and Node 1.
Thanks, Houston. We copy.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 for housekeeping.
Good morning, Sophie, with you on 2.
Good morning, Houston. I was wondering if you could deactivate lab and Node 2 smoke detectors, please.
We'll put that in work and let you know when it's done.
Thank you very much.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie. Lab and Node 2 smoke detection has been inhibited.
Please copy. Thank you very much.
Station Houston on 2 for any available crew member and Elysium update. Station Houston on 2 for Elysium update.
Go ahead on 2 for Elysium.
Hey, just wanted to let you know, you might have noticed your SSCs are no longer on the network as part of our update. Our next steps here are going to be taking off basically everything off the network, including your iPads. So just a reminder to use local copies, and nothing will be updated until we complete the update for the network.
Okay, copy. Everything is going off the network, and we should use local copies. I will pass that on to everybody. And just to confirm, does that mean CrewNet offline as well?
That is correct. If you need some entertainment, we can have Ethos sing to you on Space to Grounds.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you did make that offer, so we may have to take you up on that a little later. Thank you.
No problem.
This is Station on 2.
With you on 2.
Hey, just letting you know, I'm within Node 1, and the food warmer that we don't use, that's turned off, the door opened momentarily when I was just Velcroed something to it, and I smelled something like a kind of burning odor. So we opened it, and it definitely seems to be coming from there. It is turned off, but interestingly, I don't know if it's just getting any warmth or anything from other things in that rack, but the, you know, like the food warmer, each slot, it does actually feel a little bit warm, not hot like it's on like the other one. Anyway, we got a CFACP, we're taking some readings, and that's where we stand.
Copy all. We'll stand by for the CSACP readings. And for the burning odor, does it smell like dust or like when you first turn on your heater after winter? Like, what does that burning odor smell like?
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't smell like overly metallic. Just like you described. It doesn't smell like, like plastic melting or chemically. It just kind of is like hot metally.
Copy, hot metally. Thank you.
CSACP readings are all zeros in Node 1 with two CSACPs right next to it.
Copy all zeros. We'll keep taking a look down here. Appreciate the info.
Okay, copy. And, you know, we're kind of wondering if it's something residual from the other food warmer. We do have some food in there warming up, but when we open that door, it doesn't smell at all. The smell kind of seems limited to the other one. This is not one that we use, so it's been shut for a long time, and maybe it was just something that was, like, residual in there, and then we only smelled it because the door opened a little bit, which normally does not happen.
Copy, Jessica, and just another data point for us. The smell does it appear to be dissipating. It might be hard to tell if you're getting used to it or it's actually dissipating, but since the door's been opened, do you feel like it's been dissipating?
Yeah, Sam, I was the first one to smell it, so let me float over there and smell it again and see what I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, Yeah, we do think it's dissipating. My guess is it was just because that door opened and it, you know, there must have been some old smell in there from something being used long ago. If I stick my nose in that unused food warmer, I can smell it, but now we don't smell it like if you just stand in front of it. The only other note, like we said, the food warmer trays themselves do feel a little bit warm even though it's off, but my guess is it's probably just more conductive than the other surfaces and getting some extraneous heat from the other food warmer or something in the rack itself.
Copy all, Jessica. I think your theory makes the most sense, and we'll just take a look and make sure nothing out of the ordinary is afoot, but sounds like this is just a food warmer that's had that smell for a while. You just happened to open it.
Yeah, we think so. We will let you know if we see anything else, and I'm sure you'll do the same. Thank you. Just wanted to keep you apprised.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Station Sophie, 2 for GTA.
Sophie, hello again.
Yeah, hello. Another topic interesting that happened. So I, after cleaning the whole GEM module, the vacuum cleaner GFCI tripped. So I tried in node 1, so it's the one we use in node 2 that is specifically labeled for vacuum. So I tried the one that we use in node 1 as well, and it didn't trip, so I could identify that it was not a problem from the vacuum, not a problem from the extension cords, but a problem from the GFCI. And so I also took another GFCI to see if it's also the switch on the input power box, and with a new GFCI it worked, it did not trip. So I wanted to report which new GFCI if it's okay for you, we can use, and also the serial number of the previous one that is triggering trips.
Yeah, we'll take the one that tripped and the new one.
One that tripped was serial number 1034, and the new one is 1108.
I copied 1034 for the one that tripped, and then the new one you put in there is 1108.
Okay, firm. And I secured the new one with the same way the previous one was secured, with a zip tie, so that there's no problem, and put the label on it for vacuum only.
And then one last thing for you, Sophie. If you can label the one that tripped as suspect, and then just let us know where you put it, that would be great.
Copy, labeling suspect, and I think there is CTB in node 1 that is labeled suspect hardware. I will let you know which one it is.
Merci beaucoup.
Very good. Ethan from Sophie and 2.
Sophie.
You can reactivate smoke detectors from the lab on Moses.
Smoke detectors in Note 2 and lab, reactivation is in work.
Thanks a lot.
Station Houston on 2, all smoke detection has been re-enabled.
Station copy, thanks. Send station Sophia 2 for GFCI.
Good.
So the suspect GFCI that I mentioned earlier, I did stowed it into the 1.0 CTV 5582 in node 1, deck 4, delta 1.
Copy all, thank you.
Welcome.
With you 2 for LSG.
Houston, Chris on 2 for ZBook hypervisor transition.
Good morning, Houston's with you on 2.
I'm looking to pick up in my procedure 73.0330 in step 2 and looking for your go.
Before you hop into that, I have two quick requests for you. Can you go back to step 1.6 and turn on the lab camera such that we can follow along with hypervisor 3 as it boots up?
Copy that. I can do that.
And then second request, in parallel with all of the updates that are going on, we want to make sure that we can do an OCA file uplink if we need to send you a file, and we need to go on board one of the SSCs to make sure that our access is capable. Is SSC4 in the lab currently available for us to go on board?
It's currently available. Nobody's using it, so it's free for you to go on to.
Copy. We'll get that at work and let you know when it's free.
Sounds great. I'll get the lab cam one on, and then I will get started if I have you going to.
You are go for step two once that camera's on. Thanks.
Stand Chris on two. Lab camera one is on and pointed at the HV3 area, and you're welcome on board, and I'm getting started.
Copy that, Chris. You're good to get started.
In Houston, Chris on two, just for your awareness and record keeping, it is Ethernet cable 1028 that was plugged into the old HV5 server. I know there was some ambiguity on which one was where.
Copy, 1028, thank you.
Houston, Chris on two for ZBook swap.
We're with you on two.
I tried to power on HV3 server, and it said wait until it's charged up a little bit more and turn off. And so I was wondering if I can start getting things ready in step four and then come back to power on Hypervisor 3 in a couple minutes. I do see good power and a good charging light on Hypervisor 3. It just gave me a little message on the screen. Said wait for the battery to charge more.
Copy that. Okay. Yeah, we recommend letting that computer try to charge for about 20 minutes, and you are good to proceed with step four to set up the rest of the hypervisors, but do not power them on at this time.
Yeah, I understand there's an order to it, so I'll just start with the mechanical stuff, and we'll revisit that in a few minutes, in 20-ish.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Houston, Chris on two. Just for the record, it's Ethernet cable 1029 that's plugged into the current HV4 server.
Copy that. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on two for HV4.
Houston's with you on two.
I was just wondering, I've got HV4 connected up, still have to do a little cable management, but I was wondering if I'm not going to press power on the computer, but I was wondering if you want me to power on the cobalt brick, presuming it has the same situation as HV3 where the battery needs a little charge before it'll turn on.
That seems like a great idea. Yes, please, and we'll get that charge started.
Copy. I'll put that in work. Houston, Chris on two for hypervisors.
With you on two.
Yeah, still got a fair bit of cable routing to do to get things in a sane configuration for the ones at the forward end cone, but I was wondering if it's good for you guys if I give powering on HV3 another shot. I just wanted to double check that that is the first one, and then go from there.
Yes, you are going to power on Hypervisor 3 and see how it goes.
Copy and work.
And while I've got you, just letting you know that SSC4, we were able to update that access controls, and so that's available for your use. And if there's anything we need to uplink or downlink, that's our primary SSC for today.
Copy all, HV4, I see it. And it looks like HV3 is booting up, so keep an eye on it, looking for Gopher Ops, and I'll let you know when that is the case and your Gopher checkout of it. Houston, Chris on 2, HV3, Gopher Ops. Ready for your checkout.
Copy. We'll put that on.
Station Huntsville, space to ground 2 for Jack and LSG at your convenience.
Huntsville, station Jack's with you on 2.
Jack, Sophie's moving a little faster, so we are going to be ready to start your sequence of OMPs early, but we have one request before you start in on your cold stowage when you're ready to copy.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, so Sophie actually needs one additional item in the LSG that we're hoping you can retrieve for her. Those are the BioCell bags. There's three of them. They are in JPM F5 Bravo 1. in the 1.0 CTV 5150. These are the A, B, and C ambient ones that you put there earlier last week. You're going to retrieve those, wipe them with a sandy cloth from the day bag, and then put those in LSG, and then you can retrieve the sample bag for the cold stowage insert that's on your timeline.
All right, BioSev bags, three of them in JPM, Alpha 5, Bravo 1, and a 1.0, 5150, labeled A, B, and C. A sandy bag in LSG, and then the cold stowage. And I'm sure I can do that BioSev bag stuff right now.
Sounds great. Yeah, we're ready for that. And then once you complete your cold stowage activity, we'll be ready to move right into those Kermit ops.
Sounds great. It worked.
Station Huntsville, Fitch Ground 2-4, Jack, and go back. You're looking for Delta, Echo, and Foxtrot, not Alpha, Bravo, Charlie.
Huntsville Station, Jack copying Delta, Echo, Foxtrot.
Thank you so much.
Station Houston on 2-4, Chris and Hegerizers.
Chris is ready and with you on 2.
Hey, we are ready for you to move into powering up Hypervisor 4.
Copy that. I'll get that in work.
And you probably noticed this is all just taking a little longer than we expected. The computers are just a little laggy, I think, with the fully discharged batteries. So we expect it'll pick up a little bit here, but I appreciate you sticking with us as this is running a little long.
No worries. As you guys also probably know, the cable management in the lab is pretty rough, so I'm taking this time to kind of hopefully get the cables for the new hypervisors and all the other cables that they're all tangled with in a better state. So I've basically got hypervisor 1 and 2 ready, and so I'm just happy to keep getting the cabling done and standing by for when you want me to power on the next ones.
Awesome. Thank you much for your nice routing.
No problem. Doing my best. Houston, Chris on 2, HB4, go for ops.
Copy. We'll put it at work.
Copy. And also assume it's okay to get the cobalt bricks on, but not power on HB1 and 2 to let them charge up a bit.
Yes, please. You're good to go.
Copy that. At work. Houston, Chris on 2 for hypervisors.
Go ahead, Chris.
When reconfiguring the power cabling, I noticed that the cobalt brick for hypervisor 1, so cobalt brick 1314, the input power connector was not fully seated on that, and it actually just like popped off as soon as I touched the brick, which was a little concerning. And I was wondering, I wanted to flip off the upstream power of that before reconnecting that. I think that that's connected to PS120 switch number 3 in lab port 2. That's PS120-1013. Just wanted to double check I'm okay to turn that off, reconnect, and turn it on.
Checking. And Chris, you are go to remove that upstream power. No concerns.
Hey, and work. Huntsville Station Jackson 2, you are on board lab cam 2 for Kermit Ops.
That is what our delta was going to be, so you are ahead of us. Lab cam 2.
So station Jack on 2 for Kermit login.
We'll let you on 2 for Kermit login.
So by the best effect, I'm still using ELC1, and that the username and password has not changed from last time.
And Jack, we're going to be extra confusing today. You're actually going to use ELC6, and the password has changed.
Okay, ELC6, and I missed the second half of that.
The password has changed, so you will have to use the password that's in the attached confidential message.
Okay, copy.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and hypervisors.
Chris is with you on 2.
We are ready to move on to hypervisors 1 and 2. So with that, you can close the lids on hypervisor 3 and 4 and then power up both 1 and 2 at the same time. And if you could also swing the camera around so we could look at those.
See, 3 and 4, lids are closed, and I'll simul-power up 1 and 2 with a camera view for you.
Copy. Thanks so much.
Houston Station on 2 for JSP.
With you on 2.
Yeah, since we don't have crew notes right now, I'm just letting you know I just deployed a new wet trash JSP. It's 5442.
Copy, wet trash 5442.
Hey, fine, thanks.
And I also specifically wanted to let you know that today is World Penguin Day. So, happy World Penguin Day.
Sorry, I missed it as I was floating away. Happy which day?
It is National Penguin Day here on the ground.
Well, that's a very fitting one, especially for me. Thank you for passing that along. Penguins for all.
We thought you would enjoy.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Huntsville Station, check on 2. Can you give me the Jedi message number for that Kermit access password?
It is 73-0512 Juliet.
Houston, Chris on 2, HV 1 and 2, both go for ops.
Copy, we'll put it in work.
Jeff, we copy the OK and see that you are all logged in.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and hypervisors.
Chris is with you on 2.
All right, Hypervisor 1 and 2 look like a good power-up to us, so we're good for you to close those lids and stow in their final configuration. And with that, we don't have anything additional for you at this time, so you're good to close out this procedure, and we'll let you know if anything else comes up.
Sounds good. I will close this out and finish up with all the cleanup and move on to the next things. Thank you.
Copy. Thank you, and thanks for all the cleanup in the lab, too. Marie Kondo is done. Station Houston 2 for Chris 1, quick Quebec.
Chris, with you.
Hey, sorry for letting you go and then calling you back, but wanted to ask if we could also go on board at some point to your SSC, SSC 13, in order to do the same thing to get that access control in case we need to do any file uplinks today.
More than welcome to come on board SSC 13. Please do.
Copy that. We'll put it in work. Station Houston on 2 for Chris. No response required, and we are done with SSC 13.
Thank you, Carmen. Houston, Chris on 2 for timeline.
With you on 2.
Yeah, I assume it's all the same to you, but I'm going to punt the cleanup and photo documentation of the old hypervisors till after my exercise in veggie, and just wanted to make sure you are okay with that and that you don't need the photos immediately.
No concerns from us. Enjoy your workout.
Thank you kindly.
Station Huntsville, Space to Ground 2 for Jack and the LSG ops. And Jack, we are ready for you to get started with your hemocytometer on. Sophie has given you what you need. Our commanding is complete. You are go and step one. And Jack, your hemocytometers are with Sophie and LSG. She can help you get those so you can get going.
And I think you're saying I'm going step one in procedure 2.007.
And Jack, yes, you are in procedure 2.007, and you are go in step one.
So, thank you.
Station Huntsville, Space to Ground 2 for Jack. Some words there to help you when you're installing this hemocytometer. You want to put it such that the Velcro is towards the center and the film side is up.
So, Station, copy that. It's not clear to me when you say the film side. It looks like one side kind of has caps on tape color stuff. The other side has clear, it could be a film on the other side. So it seems like there's a side with the Velcro and a side without the Velcro. Okay. So which one do you want up?
The clear side is the film side, and that's going to be up.
Okay, film side. Station Tricon 2. I've got sample D and E installed. And sample F is tempered nearby. I understand it doesn't need to be in the fridge or in table while we're waiting for the sample or waiting for the microscope.
Jack, ambient is fine. It just needs to stay inside the amber bag.
Okay, copy. It is stowed inside the amber bag. And you guys have it. And I'll be ready to swap them out when you're ready.
We copy, Jack. We'll just call you when we're ready for the next one. Copy, okay.
Station Houston 2 for any available crew member for a hypervisor update.
This is with you on 2.
Hey, Chris. We're at the point on the ground that we believe you should have access to CrewNet and CloudNet now on board. We do not expect you have access to ops products yet, but if you could test to see if your CrewNet, CloudNet is working and give us a call back, that would help us understand if we're progressing as we expected.
Sounds great. That's really promising news. We'll give it a check and let you know.
Fingers crossed all around.
Houston, Chris on 2 for an update.
Where do you want to?
Yeah, it took a little bit and involved trusting some servers. It took a few minutes to pop up, but it does indeed look like we have CrewNet and CloudNet back up on the iPads.
Great news. We hope you enjoy that functionality, and we'll let you know when we're ready to check out everything else.
Okay, yep, copy that. Thanks.
Station Huntsville, Station Ground 2 for Jack. Kermit is ready for you.
Hey, Kermit's ready. Swapping out TV, and I'll put an F.
You got a check and no rush, but also giving you the awareness that your LSG work volume dough is go and flexible, so whatever you want to do that today, you are go for it.
Yeah, I'm also go for LSG still.
Good, read back.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2, sample F is in the microscope.
We copy. We'll start imaging. Station Huntsville, Station Ground 2 for Jack and Kermit.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2, I think I just missed a call off here.
Jack, you did that swap so fast, just wanted to confirm that you did take some new photos of the new hemocytometer.
Affirmative. I got photos of sample F in there by itself, as well as the earlier photos from sample B and E in there together.
We copy. Thank you. Station Huntsville, Space to Ground 2 for Jack and Kermit.
Ground 2 for Kermit.
Jack, we are complete. We are ready for you to remove the hemocytometer and perform the Kermit power down, and then this will complete the stem cell XH2P payload. We really appreciate all of you up there and the team effort.
Awesome. Congrats to the scientists and the engineers, the payload team. It's always great to close out a payload of great science up here on the International Space Station.
We concur, and we're ready to kick off some more payloads, some brand new ones, on Monday.
Huntsville Station, Jackson 2. I'm reading this stone note right. It's a screenshot from yesterday, but these samples are going to the hardware JSP, right? They're not being packaged for return.
Affirm. They are being trashed.
Station.
And, Jack, one clarification, when these samples come out for trash, they need to be in a trash bag. It needs one level of containment prior to trashing.
Huntsville Station, Jack, copy. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Veggie.
With you on 2 for Veggie.
Hey, I'm just finishing getting things unstowed, but I've got the Columbus camcorder set up, and you are welcome on board.
We copy. We see that field of view. Station Huntsville, Space Ground 2 for Chris and Veggie field of view adjustment. Chris, I just want the camera tilted up a little bit so we see both lockers, and then once you get that laptop desk set up, we'll want that in the field of view as well. We see it. We're checking. Hey, Chris, that's a great field of view. You're go to keep moving with the idea.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Veggie.
With you on 2 for Veggie.
I just had a question about positioning the plant growth system in the in this adapter or plate. Is there a particular like positioning you're looking for with it in? I mean, I guess it seems like I could put it in. I kind of put it up against, this way up against the stop, but I wasn't sure if that was the right way or if there's a different way I should be orienting it.
Hey, Chris, I was just asking our team to make sure that you did it the way that it was intended, and you did it perfectly. So that is how the plants sit inside the TikTok adapter.
Okay, perfect. And then for the photos, are you looking for me to get like an orthogonal side-on view, like so you can use the grid to measure the length, or do you prefer like a sort of a more angled view so you can see more of the plants?
Straight on. And Chris, one go back, we actually want both. We want to see the grid and we want a photo of it to see the growth. Copy, thumbs up.
And Huntsville, Chris on 2, I think I know the answer to this, but just confirming, these are now going back in without the caps on.
Chris, that is correct. They're going to go in with the caps, but we also need the plant rotated so we get the other side as well with the picture.
From you wanted Alpha and Charlie, right? I got both of those sides for this first one already.
Perfect. That's what we were looking for.
Next station, Sophie on 2 for a question about Chloris.
Bonjour, Sophie. Munich is with you on 2, God.
Bonjour, Munich. I was wondering, because we don't have UPS products, I cannot check how you want me to take the pictures of Chloris. So I was just wondering if you could describe to me the angle you want and the settings, if there are some specific settings.
Okay, yeah, that's understood. The first picture we would need would be an overview picture of the seed box through the top side window.
Okay, I'm taking notes. So first overview, top side window.
And as a step before that, you should verify that no mold is present in the chloris box, which you could see through the top side window.
No mold through top side window, copy.
Next step would then be to take a picture of the humidity indicator and one temperature indicator in the chloris box.
Humidity and temperature indicator in the Columbus box, what do you mean?
Sorry, the chloris box.
Chloris box, copy, and okay.
And the next and last step for the picture taking would be to take a close-up picture of each individual seed box.
Close-up of each individual seed box. Okay. And any settings particular with flash, without flash, or I just do best effort in here?
There are no specific settings that are required. Again, best effort, and as stated in the big picture words, it should be at the, if possible, maximum lighting.
Okay, and so I'll do them right away, and I have a question as well in concerning the lighting, because I understand we should never turn off the light, which we did not last night, so then it means that the seeds will have no alternating day or night cycle.
That's a question that I will need to bring back to the science team here. In the big picture words, it's just stated that the Columbus light should be on and at maximum brightness for as long as possible every day. I will check, but it could mean that during the night it can as well be off.
Yeah, I'd appreciate an answer on that, especially if you could contact the science team, that would be awesome. Thanks.
And yeah, Sophie, I'll make sure to forward that to the inclement team, and we'll make sure to provide you with an answer.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And yeah, let me know if you need any more help for the photo session.
I'll let you know. I'll prepare the camera and do all this, and I'll let you know. Thanks.
So, Chris on 2 for Veggie.
With you on 2 for Veggie.
So I completed this procedure for Veggie Locker 1, and I just wanted to double-check, just since it's a kind of an off-nominal Opsponics day. I'm only supposed to do this for Veggie Locker 1, is my understanding from reading the procedure, or do you want me to do it for both lockers?
Just locker 1 today. You'll be doing the other locker later.
Okay, copy that. I will get everything stowed then and get the photos downlinked. Thanks.
Thank you. And yeah, you're going to be removing the next set on Monday. Copy thumbs up. at Huntsville, space to ground 2 for Chris and Veggie.
All right, on 2 for Chris.
Chris, with this Veggie experiment, we are trying to duplicate the conditions on the ground so we can compare the data. For the shroud, have you guys been keeping it down and then just pulling it up for off-site today, or what has been the stat? How have you guys been managing the shroud?
Yeah, so for the first 2 days, we kept the shroud down, but then we decided we actually kind of liked the little pink glow, so we have been keeping the shroud rolled up, kind of like you just saw it on the camera. And we've just been keeping the shroud there so that if, you know, folks needed to do a PAO event or something like that, they could roll it down. But otherwise, we're just letting the light shine out. Does that work, or would you prefer we have the shroud down?
We're going to check with the PD. We'll get right back to you.
Copy. Oh, yeah, just let us know. And, apologies. We were just kind of under the impression it was crew prep how we wanted to handle the shroud.
Station on South Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Veggie.
Station 2 for Veggie.
Wait first. Chris, wanted to verify in step 3.2 that you did set the bellows measurement to the 16 inches.
Yep, that's a firm. I put some little pieces of Kapton tape to mark 16 inches since it seemed like that was the current one, and so I just kind of have those there to reference every time I put them back.
That's a great idea, and we copy that. For the shroud, we are fine with it staying up. However, if at any time you guys opt to change it to keeping it down, just let us know for any long-term configuration changes so we can duplicate it here on the ground.
Copy all. I'll let everybody know. And I think, yeah, our ConOps is just, leave it up, put it down if you need it, but then leave them back up, and we'll let you know if there's any change.
That works for us.
That's great. Thanks, guys. Let's keep a little alfalfa grow. It brightens our day.
We enjoyed seeing it grow as well.
Station Houston on 2 for a quick end-of-day update.
Houston, station, go on 2.
Sorry to bother you on a late Saturday afternoon, but just wanted to let you know that everything with the Elysium update is moving along well. Teams are working really hard at it here on the ground, and we expect to be back with things tomorrow, but reminder just to stay off of all of those SSCs tonight.
Copy. Thank team for all the hard work, and we will stay off of both the crew and the ops SSCs. Do you have a specific time for the plan or any other time?
Things are taking a little longer than expected here, so just check in with us in your morning before you start to use them, and we'll give you a latest update.
Okay, that sounds great, and we should be hands-off SSCs now. Is that what you're saying as well?
Yes, affirm.
Copy. We'll make sure everyone has that word, and thanks again for all the hard work.
Okay, and if there's something specific you need from those, just let us know. We can probably find a way to make it work and give you one if you need it.
Okay, perfect. We'll let you know if something comes up.
One other quick go back for you. From way earlier in your day today, we have a report of the burning odor and the food warmer in node 1. I just wanted to confirm that that odor had completely dissipated and you have no longer any concerns there.
That is a good read back. The odor has completely dissipated. We let that second food warmer air out for a while. It hasn't been on. We haven't been using it, so we let it air out for a while, and there's no more odor and no more concerns.
Greatness. That's it from us. I hope you have a great night and a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Houston, Chris on 2 for stowage.
Houston is with you on 2.
Hello, good afternoon. I know we're supposed to be hands-off SSCs. I still had a tiny bit of stowage left over from my hypervisor deploy earlier. I've got a 1.0 CTB 5655. Inside of that are the 5-volt hypervisors, their power cables, and one Cat 6 cable. I believe that's what's supposed to be in there. I just was wondering where that gets stowed. I currently have it temped in the lab.
Checking.
Thank you, Hanley.
And Chris, we expect to stow that at Lab 1, Deck 1. We'll keep the CTB with all the old hardware there for about a week or so, and then assuming and knocking on wood is that all of this goes well, we'll move it to a permanent location after a week of ops.
Perfect. That is super easy for me. And then one other thing, I put some photos of the new deployed hypervisors on SSC13. Not sure if you guys can grab them. I've got the cards if that in the SSC flip over anything that happens to that.
We think we'll be able to grab those down. We'll put that in work and let you know how it goes.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And also for Huntsville, this is Chris on 2, the photos for Veggie are also on SSC13.
And Huntsville copies. Thank you.
You are looking live at Launch Pad 6, Site 31 at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, where the Roscosmos Soyuz 2.1A booster stands fully fueled, ready to launch just 21 minutes, 20 seconds from now, on a delivery run to send 2.8 tons of cargo to the International Space Station. Good evening from Mission Control in Houston and the International Space Station Flight Control Room. Several hours ago, this Soyuz booster was fueled for launch following a meeting of the Roscosmos State Commission. All of the systems on the three-stage Soyuz are ready to begin the journey, an 8-minute, 46-second journey to deliver the Progress into its preliminary orbit. The Progress will be traveling on a 33-orbit, two-day rendezvous to automatically link up to the aft port of the Zvezda service module on the International Space Station on Monday night. We'll get into a breakdown on the cargo being delivered to the International Space Station and the Expedition 74 crew just a few moments from now. The flight of the Soyuz booster to its preliminary orbit is being handled by launch engineers at the blockhouse in Baikonur. Once we have third stage separation and spacecraft separation of the Progress itself from the third stage of the Soyuz booster, control of the rest of the flight of the Soyuz over the next 2 days will be handled by Russian flight controllers that you see there at the Russian Mission Control Center in Korolyov on the outskirts of Moscow. Everything continues to be in readiness. The weather in Baikonur is excellent. Balmy temperatures of about 62 degrees Fahrenheit, only partly cloudy skies. The launch is scheduled at 5:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time, 6:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Eastern Time, 3:21 a.m. Baikonur Time on Sunday morning, April 26th. The cargo breakdown for the delivery run of the Progress to the International Space Station consists of a total of 5,748 pounds of cargo. That's the equivalent of 2.8 tons. That breaks down to 2,971 pounds of dry cargo, 1,741 pounds of fuel, 926 pounds of water, and 110 pounds of oxygen and air. The flight profile will call for the liftoff, again, at 5:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time, just 18 and a half minutes from now. 1 minute, 58 seconds into the flight, we will have first stage separation. The strap-on boosters and the first stage will separate from the rest of the Soyuz booster. At 3 minutes and 3 seconds into the mission, we will see the jettisoning of the launch shroud that is enveloping the Progress itself, the unpiloted Progress cargo ship. 4 minutes and 47 seconds after launch, we'll have second stage separation, and then 4 minutes later, we'll have third stage separation and spacecraft separation from the upper stage or the third stage of the Soyuz booster, followed seconds later by the deployment of the solar arrays and the navigational antennas, which will guide the Progress toward its destination, the aft port of the Zvezda service module, and an automated docking on Monday evening. At this hour, aboard the International Space Station, the seven crew members are asleep, led by the space station commander, Sergei Kud-Sverdkov. He's joined by his Roscosmos colleagues, Sergei Mikheyev and Andrei Fedyaev. Three NASA astronauts are on board the station, Chris Williams, Jessica Meir, and Jack Hathaway. They are all joined by Sophie Adno of the European Space Agency. The seven-person crew currently flying from northwest to southeast in an orbit inclined 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator at an altitude of some 260 statute miles. Some of the countdown milestones that you can expect to hear over the next 16 minutes prior to liftoff will include at the T-minus 7-minute mark the rotation of a key in the launch automated mode sequencer in the launch bunker at Baikonur. This will initiate the ground launch sequencer for the automatic control of the final minutes of the countdown. At the T-minus 4-minute 15-second mark, we'll see the activation of recorders in the launch control center on which telemetry from the launch vehicle is documented, followed seconds later by the purging of nitrogen on the fuel lines and other elements of the rocket engines to fireproof them by removing vapors of fuel and oxidizer from the base of the launch vehicle itself. At about the 2-minute 45-second mark in the countdown, the fuel and oxidizer tanks will be pressurized. This optimizes the flow of fuel and to provide additional structural rigidity to the launch vehicle as it sits on the launch pad there, Launch Pad 6, Site 31 of the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. The vehicle will be placed on internal power after that, and we'll be standing by for the beginning of the retraction of the first of the two umbilicals that are buttressed up against the Soyuz 2.1A vehicle. The first umbilical will be retracted at about the T-minus 35-second mark, followed some 18 seconds later at the T-minus 17-second mark by the retraction of the second umbilical. That will initiate the starting of the engine ignition sequence. The engines will come up to full throttle, the hold-down posts will be retracted, and the Soyuz will lift off to begin its journey 8 minutes and 46 seconds from liftoff to spacecraft separation for the Progress cargo ship. We're at T-minus 14 minutes, 25 seconds until launch. Everything has gone very smoothly throughout the course of the day for the launch engineers in Baikonur, as we stand by for the liftoff of the latest resupply ship for Roscosmos to the International Space Station. This past Monday, the aft port of the Zvezda service module was vacated with the undocking of the 93 Progress cargo ship that completed a 7-month stay at the International Space Station. So the aft port is open for business, ready to accept the 95 Progress cargo ship on Monday night, and an automated docking that is scheduled at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Standing by at the controls of the backup rendezvous system, should it become necessary, the telerobotically operated rendezvous system, or TORU system, will be the station commander, Sergei Kud-Sverchkov, and his Roscosmos colleague, Sergei Makeyev. They'll be standing by in the unlikely event that it would be necessary for them to manually fly the Progress in for its docking. Because of the hour of the docking on Monday night, the hatch to the Progress 95 cargo ship will not be opened until Tuesday morning. And at that point, Kud-Sverchkov and Makeyev will begin unloading the cargo. Once again, 2.8 tons of cargo, food, fuel, and supplies for the Expedition 74 crew on board the International Space Station. Down in Baikonur, the Soyuz 2.1A launch vehicle rolled out to the launch pad at Site 31, about a 30-minute journey from the integration building at Site 31. That occurred several days ago. The vehicle was hauled to its vertical position hydraulically from its rail car, at which point the launch engineering team hooked up the fuel lines, the electrical lines, data lines, and began the final several days of launch pad preparations, which will culminate just 11 and a half minutes from now with the launch of the Progress to the International Space Station. At the time of launch, the International Space Station and its seven crew members will be flying over the South Atlantic on a southwest and northeasterly trajectory, and the race will begin for the Progress to catch up to the International Space Station for its automated docking on Monday night. This will include several so-called DV burns, delta velocity burns, that will alter the trajectory, basically rendezvous maneuvers, that will enable the Progress to increase its altitude in a stair-step fashion to match that of the International Space Station for its final approach and rendezvous operations on Monday evening. Once the Progress arrives in the vicinity of the International Space Station on Monday evening, it will conduct a fly-around. This is all automated. Conduct a fly-around of the International Space Station to precisely align itself with the aft docking port of the Zvezda service module as the Russian flight controllers assess its precise alignment before giving the go for its final approach and contact and capture. We are inside 10 minutes before launch. Once again, no issues being worked by the launch control team in Baikonur. We have a 25-second launch window tonight. The countdown proceeding on schedule, the Soyuz 2.1A booster fully fueled, ready to begin its journey to deliver the Progress into its preliminary orbit. And just to reiterate what we said earlier, the Soyuz booster's flight of 8 minutes and 46 seconds from launch until spacecraft separation is governed by the launch control team in the blockhouse in Baikonur. Once the Progress separates from the upper stage or third stage of the Soyuz 2.1A booster, control of the rest of the flight of Progress to the International Space Station through docking is controlled by the flight control team at the Russian Mission Control Center on the outskirts of Moscow. We are coming up on the point in the countdown where the launch count itself will transition to an automatic launch sequencer. You're hearing launch engineers at the blockhouse in Baikonur reporting the milestones in the final minutes of the countdown. We are at T-minus 6 minutes, 57 seconds and counting. The Soyuz 2.1A booster is a three-stage rocket. The Progress is nestled into the upper stage. The shroud that envelops the Progress itself will be jettisoned at the 3-minute, 3-second mark into the flight. Coming up on T-minus 6 minutes, Mark, T-minus 6 minutes and counting. The rest of the countdown being governed by the automatic launch sequencer. Breaking down the cargo that the Progress is carrying to the station once again, 2,971 pounds of dry cargo, 1,741 pounds of fuel, 926 pounds of water, and 110 pounds of oxygen and air, a total of 5,748 pounds of cargo, or 2.8 tons. And the fuel lines for the first stage now being purged with nitrogen. T-minus 4 minutes, 35 seconds and counting. Flight recorders now being activated. T-minus 4 minutes and counting. No issues being worked. The liftoff time, once again, 5:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time, 3:21 a.m. in Baikonur on a Sunday morning. Coming up on the T-minus 3-minute mark. Coming up on the pressurization of the fuel and oxidizer tanks, T-minus 2 minutes 45 seconds. T-minus 2 minutes and counting, everything is go. We'll be watching for the first of those two umbilicals to retract at about the T-minus 35-second mark, 90 seconds to launch. Pressurization now complete. T-minus 1 minute. The first umbilical now retracting. T-minus 25 seconds and counting. The second umbilical retracting. We have a go for engine start. We have main engine start. Engines up to full turbo speed. And liftoff. Liftoff of the 95th Progress resupply mission to the International Space Station. The vehicle has cleared the tower. engines at maximum thrust, arcing out to the northeast over the Central Asian desert. All control parameters reported to be normal from the blockhouse in Baikonur, good roll and pitch. Lighting up the night skies on a Sunday morning, the vehicle reported to be stable, having disappeared into the clouds over Baikonur. Chamber pressure for the engines, nominal. 1 minute, 4 seconds into the flight. Yaw, pitch, and roll all normal, reported by the engineers at the blockhouse in Baikonur. Everything looking very good. All parameters are green. 90 seconds into the flight. Roll, pitch, and yaw all nominal. Everything looking very good on first stage performance. We're expecting booster shutdown, first stage separation in just a few seconds. And we have first stage shutdown. And we have first stage separation. The second stage engines up and running. The vehicle is stable, heading uphill. 2.5 minutes into the flight, all structural parameters are normal. 6 minutes, 15 seconds of powered flight remaining. Second stage engine performance, nominal, according to the blockhouse in Baikonur. The vehicle is reported to be stable as we pass the 3 minute mark into the flight. We have the jettisoning of the launch shroud. 3 minutes, 20 seconds into the flight. 5.5 minutes of powered flight remaining, everything looking good. The second stage engine is running flawlessly so far. Everything looking great. All the control parameters reported to be normal from the blockhouse in Baikonur. A steady ride uphill so far for the Progress 95 cargo ship. All the vehicle parameters are stable and nominal. The second stage should be shutting down and separating about 30 seconds or so from now. Now the view from the television camera on the upper stage of the Soyuz 2.1A, about 20 seconds away from second stage shutdown and separation. Very steady ride for the Soyuz heading uphill. And we have confirmation of second stage shutdown and separation, third stage engine up and running. Vehicle reported to be stable, 5 minutes 20 seconds into the flight, 3.5 minutes of powered flight remaining. Good reports coming from the blockhouse in Baikonur. A very, very smooth ride for the Soyuz 2.1A booster. 5 minutes 45 seconds into the flight, 3 minutes of powered flight remaining. 6 minutes into the flight. Liftoff time, once again, was 5:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time, 3:21 and 47 seconds a.m. Baikonur Time on Sunday morning. All structural parameters continue to be normal. Good ride uphill so far for the Progress 95 cargo craft. 6.5 minutes into the flight. Mark 7 minutes into the flight. 1 minute, 45 seconds of powered flight remaining. Third stage is running very smoothly. Good structural parameters. Vehicle reported to be very, very stable. 7 minutes, 45 seconds into the flight. 1 minute of powered flight remaining. Good third stage performance. 8 minutes, 5 seconds into the flight. About 30 seconds of powered flight remaining. 8.5 minutes into the flight, everything continues to go very smoothly on the ride uphill for Progress 95. Standing by for third stage shutdown and spacecraft separation. We have third stage shutdown and separation. The Soyuz booster has done its job. Now we'll stand by for solar array deploy and navigational antenna deploy. And we have confirmation of solar array deploy and all navigational antennas have deployed, all of them. A perfect ride uphill for the Soyuz 2.1A booster delivering the Progress 95 cargo craft into its preliminary orbit. Over the next several orbits of the Progress's flight, there'll be a series of delta velocity burns of the Progress engines to slowly but surely increase its altitude to match that of the International Space Station as it begins its two-day journey for an automated docking to the aft port of the Zvezda service module on Monday evening. And there's our first view from the external television camera on the Progress, showing the familiar cross-haired engineering view. This is Mission Control Houston. You're looking at a view half a world away at the Russian Mission Control Center on the outskirts of Moscow, where the flight controllers there in that cavernous room have now taken over control of the Progress 95 journey to the International Space Station that will culminate with an automated docking on Monday night. The Progress lifted off atop the Soyuz 2.1A booster on time at 5:21 and 47 seconds p.m. Central Time. It was 3:21 and 47 seconds a.m. Baikonur time on Sunday morning. The 8-minute, 46-second ride uphill was uneventful. All of the Soyuz booster stages performed perfectly, delivering the Progress into its preliminary orbit and the beginning of a 33-orbit, two-day journey that will wrap up with that automated docking and the delivery of 2.8 tons of food, fuel, and supplies for the Expedition 74 crew. That coverage of rendezvous and docking will begin at 6:15 p.m. Central Time, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday evening. Docking is scheduled 45 minutes after that at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So you'll want to join us on Monday night for our coverage of the Progress 95's arrival at the International Space Station. In the meantime, we'll wrap up our coverage for this evening, a flawless launch of Progress atop its Soyuz booster rocket, Progress on its way to the International Space Station. Have a good evening and a good weekend. This is Mission Control Houston.